I've called it a lost dream because it's something I feel that I myself lost, and maybe you have too. A life freedom from failure. Now, the Bible uses an eagle, because that was obviously one of the birds that was around in the time, as a way of how we should be living as Christians, soaring like an eagle. In Isaiah, it puts it like this, and I like this, now I'm an old man, it puts it like this. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men will stumble and fall, but those who put their hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagle, they'll run and not grow weary, they will walk and not be faint. So my question to you tonight is, are you soaring like an eagle? Even if you're old like me, are you soaring like an eagle? Well, when I first came to faith, I did soar. I mean, my life exploded because I became a Christian very quickly. But after a while, things started to go wrong. And I was trying to reflect back, how did they go wrong? Well, when I was growing up, I had this poem above my bed. Some of you may know it. It's called If by Rudyard Kipling. And I learnt it off by heart. And it's got four verses. And this is just one of them. This is verse two. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you've given your life to broken and stoop down and build them up with worn out tools. And then the last three lines of the last verse say this: with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything in it, and what's more, you'll be a man, my son. Well, it didn't take me long to work out that I wasn't a man, and I never would be, and that I was destined to fail. So as a young man in my early 20s, I remember feeling I'd started work and feeling that other people were doing better than me. And I began to feel like a failure, even at the age of about 21. I started to think, I'm not doing well enough, I'm failing in life. And it was all wrapped up in my identity. I was trying to ask the question, well, who am I? Am I different than anyone else? Where do I belong? And where am I accepted in the world? And these were my questions. Who am I? Where do I belong? And where am I accepted? Because I began to feel a bit of a failure. And this is the reason I started to feel like a failure. If we could have the next slide up. It soon went, this was my model for success, and I think this is very much the world. There was me on one side, and when I was successful at what I was doing, or when I was successful at what I looked like, or what I wore, or maybe the friends that I had, they defined how successful I was. And this, in turn, got my identity. Whether I was successful in my workplace, successful in life, by the friends, by what I looked like, and what I did. And my aim in life was to be a successful person. This was before as a Christian. And I wanted to be a successful person, and my identity was all wrapped up in my success and what I did. And once I'd done that, I was accepted, and I had found my place in the world, and this was the model. But the problem was this. I soon discovered that first arrow leading to my identity actually ended up being one of failure. Because I had a very good looking brother. And people used to come in and go to my brother, you're good looking. And I'm thinking, well, what about me? And he always used to be the one that got the girlfriend. So I thought, okay, so I'm not that good looking. And you soon discover it, don't you? And then after a while, what I did, you know, I discovered that everyone seemed to be cleverer than me and getting on. And it took me a while to get my, I was doing a diploma and my friends were doing degrees and I didn't get that. So I started failing in that. And I looked at my friends and I thought, gosh, I don't have many friends. And I just began to feel a failure. So I never really got to being a successful person. So really at a young age, I never even got to be have, find a place in the world. And this model that I had of being successful seemed to be written on my life. That I actually, and I didn't think I was that bad, but there was still that little writing of failure written on my life. And it can be the same sometimes when you become a Christian. It started happening there too. Now, it's a different kind of model when you're a Christian. There's you, and when you become a Christian, they ask you to read the Bible, and they ask you to pray, and they ask you to be good. And I soon discovered I wasn't that good at praying, I wasn't that good at Bible studying, and when it came to being good, I really wasn't very good. I looked at the other Christians, and I remember belonging to this missionary group, and they all used to, I knew that they all, because they'd all been Christians all their life. I was a very messy Christian when I first became a Christian. And sin, I was good at that. And they all kind of, tut, 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 James has just failed again, tut, tut, tut. And they were all kind of quite nice people. But my mess just came out straight away. So, again, my identity, I wanted to be a good Christian, but my identity in God was already in jeopardy because once again, I started heading towards that failure again, even in the Christian circles. I wasn't that good at being a Christian, and I wasn't that good, and I started failing at it. And it just felt like a bit of a burden on me, even as a Christian. I started off just on fire for God, and God just opened doors, and God blasted in my life, and dramatic things, miracles happened in my life, and all these things, and I started with a big bang, and then bit by bit, I found all this being... The Christians looked at me and said, he's not a very good Christian. And I'm not a very good Christian. And then they started looking down on me and I started feeling it and feeling this failure. And I started getting real guilt and started hiding at first. When I first became a Christian, I'd say, oh, pray for me. I've got this sin, you know, this bad sin. And which I didn't know in Christian circles, you're not allowed to own up to things. Some sins you're just not allowed to own up to. And I'd own up to it and everyone would go, ooh, he's got that sin. And I've now since discovered everyone else has got it too, but they just don't own up to it. So I learned to shut up. I learned to hide my sins. And it was really good because no one could see anymore. So at least I appeared to be good and would be accepted by Christians. And I had this guilt from failure. And it was just, after a while, it became a load too heavy to carry. Now look at this. These are some guys. I love these pictures. They're carrying, these people are carrying these loads. This is a guy carrying bricks on a bicycle. Isn't that great? Here's another one. These guys carrying on bicycles, they're carrying, and this is how I felt. I had this big load on my back, and it was like, could I balance it, or well, they're going to fall over. Okay, here's the last one. This is a guy carrying boxes on his bicycle, loading them. The best one I've ever saw was when I was in Tanzania, and I kid you not, I saw a guy on a bicycle with probably 150 chickens, live chickens. They'd just tied all their legs up, and he was just holding these chickens, and all you could see was his head and chickens all around. Anyway, that's not what I'm here to talk about. And I don't know whether you can identify with this. You feel actually there's a bit of a load, and it may be a Christian thing, it may be something at school, maybe things at work, maybe things in your family, maybe things at home, but actually you feel a bit weighed down with a bit of guilt. I actually feel, do you know, I'm not so good at life really. I'm just not really doing life very well. And you feel a bit like this, like you've personally carrying this big load around with you. Now, I want us now on our table to ask this question. What are the things that set you up to fail? In other words, I had a whole load of things. Now, there may be things at school, the way you look, the way things you wear, at home, expectations of your family. They may be Christian things, Bible, you know, got to read the Bible, got to pray enough, those kind of things. But on your tables, and you guys, just, you wouldn't mind just stopping colouring just for one moment, and just talk to each other about what are the things in your world, and I'm not saying the things that necessarily are your burdens that you might personally, so they don't have to be things you personally struggle with. They're things in your environments that people have expectations of you, which a lot of people just can't meet, so you end up just feeling guilty. So just 5 minutes on your tables now. Things in your home, Bible study, workplace, school, what are the things that people expect you to do, to look like, that end up making people just feeling guilty because you're not that good at them and other people are? So go. Dan, could you just pause the tape? So this is what began to, as I had all this rubbish in my life, this is what God began to speak to me. And some of it I already knew, but I was just approaching it in the wrong way. So as we move on now, most of you will know a lot of this. So if we could go on to the next slide. So we need to approach God from the other side, not from the side of all the things we need to do for God. We need to just start over there with us. And the first thing I want to say is our prime identity, and if you like, our very purpose in life, is to be a child of God. That's what we were created for. That's why God created you, to be his child and for him to be your daddy. That's what you were created for. That's our prime purpose in life. God didn't make you the fun of it. He didn't make you just to do lots of things. He made you to be his child. That's his intention. That's what the cross is about. That's what he made you to be, a child of God. That's your purpose in life. So it's not something you have to do. It's something you have to be. Now, the way we become a child of God, most of us will know, because hopefully in this church, it's said left, right, and center, and that is Jesus. The way to God is Jesus. But this is where my problems started, and I'll explain a bit more in a moment. And we come to faith through the Holy Spirit revealing Jesus. Because when I was growing up, I didn't see Jesus at all. I was blind. I was like this. And then one day the Holy Spirit opened my eyes and I thought, wow, God is real. So the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus. The Holy Spirit brings us to Jesus. And then we come to faith, Scripture tells us, the Bible tells us, through grace and faith. We put our faith in the cross, which is a place of grace. Now, I'm not going to go into real depth about tonight about how the cross works, but I certainly will do on many occasions, because that's not what I really want to talk about tonight. But that's how essentially we come to faith in Jesus. Now, I want you to note that the power of the Holy Spirit is not you doing anything. And I want you to note, grace is undeserved love. It's also my daughter, but it's actually undeserved love. That's what it means. Faith is a gift from God. So there are three things which are nothing to do with us doing anything. They're all God things. So the way to God is a God thing. And our identity is a God thing. I'll come back to that. But I just want to very briefly say, because this is the outworking of my life, I want to acknowledge that Christians are meant to do things. But what we do is the other side of that. It's through God. We don't do things, it's nothing to do with that. As we connect with God, what we do and our place in the world, what we do is, as God gives us love, we take that love and do things in the world. And this is Matthew 6, 33 to 34. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worries of itself. For each day has troubles of its own. Now, I want to acknowledge that there is stuff in our life which needs dealing with, and there's stuff in our life which needs doing. I want to acknowledge that. But again, there lies a problem. Now, I'm actually going to skip off the next verse and go on to the next one after the John 15 verse. So if you could put that up. So, can you go two more on? Two sides on? Okay, stop there. Now, I want to say at this stage, these are the outworkings that have been happening dramatically, this is personal now, in my life recently, okay? And I just want to acknowledge that. But in some ways, these things are irrelevant to the doing things. So I've been experiencing God's love in a way like never before recently. My Bible study reading and my prayer life has just got so much better. I've been overcoming some of the sin which I've been wrestling in my life. God's just dealt with, and I had an addiction, and I want to talk about just one of them. I had a few, if I'm really honest. One of them was food. I'm a comfort eater, and I was rapidly putting on weight at quite a rapid way because I was comfort eating. Now, anyone who's tried to lose weight, or even gain it sometimes, will know that there's nothing you can do. Everyone knows, want to lose weight, you eat less, and you exercise. Easy. But it's really not. It's an addiction, and you cannot do anything about it. However hard you try, and I tried hard, and here lies the problem. And then suddenly, God dealt with that. And I found a new health, and a new fitness, and I lost a lot of weight, and I'm talking stones rather than pounds. And life started taking on a new fullness for me. And I started taking up new challenges that were bigger and more challenging. So and that's kind of why I'm here. I want to tell you how I got there, because it wasn't by bringing those things to God. It was another way. Because that's what I've always done in the past. I've got a weight problem, bring it to God. Come on, God, you can help me get over this. I approached it very differently. You see, the problem is, come with the next slide, is we begin our relationship with God by grace and faith in Jesus. We know, don't we? Well, you should do, if you've been in this church at all. You don't become a Christian by anything you do as such. It's by the work, by grace and faith in Jesus. But here's where I went wrong. I didn't continue that way as a Christian. I didn't continue living by grace and faith. I was saved by grace and faith, but now I've got to get on and pray. Now I've got to get on and love everybody. Now I've got to get on and read the Bible. And these were my emphasis. Now don't get me wrong, you do need to do those things. But that's what I thought I should be doing as a Christian. That was now my task. As a Christian, I need to be loving people. I need to be praying. I need to be reading the Bible. That's what I need to be doing. So that was my emphasis. So when I failed at that, I failed at being a Christian. And that was my problem. I don't know whether that you can relate to that. Where you actually think, I've got to do these things. I've got to worship God. I've got to... And all these things are true. But what we end up doing is working really hard at them. And then we mustn't sin, must we? As a Christian, you should not be sinning. All those things, greed and all the sexual sins and all these things, whatever is the thing that bothers you. We shouldn't be doing these things. We shouldn't be jealous and envious, but we are. And it's like nothing we can do about it. We try really hard and we fail because we think these are the things we're called to do as being a Christian. And there lies the problem. Well, I say the problem, my problem. So, if we go on to the next slide. But actually, God said to me, no, James. You don't live as a Christian by praying, by being good. You live as a Christian through me, and my name is Jesus. Your prime identity, what you're meant to be, is a child of God. You're meant to be a child of God. That's what you're meant to be doing. You're meant to being my child. That's what you're meant to be. That's what you're meant to be. That's the prime thing. And that's through the power of the Spirit. And what I am, here it says, and this is from the John 15 one. When you're connected with me, I am with you. The intimate relation, the relationship intimate. That's from the Message version. When you're connected to God, you have this intimate relationship. And God changed my focus from my eating, from my sin, from my addiction, from my Bible study, from my prayer, to Him. Me. Come to me, James. And all else will be given to you. Now, how do we come to God? There's this brilliant verse in Ephesians which says this: I have become a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of His power. Just take a look at that. There's a few things there. I come as a servant. I come with humility. There's the thing that God, the only thing that God doesn't give us is humility. It's our choice. Because it occurred to me, well, if God has given us all these things, why haven't I received them? What was my problem? What was I not doing? I was not coming to Jesus and letting Him give me these things. And we receive them daily by God's grace. Receive His love daily. And in His power, in the working of His power. And it was all by my effort. And here Paul's going, no, no, no. It's the working of His power. And this one's not in this verse, but there's a faith thing there too. And so what I want us to suggest today is that daily we might have this gift. That every day I learn to come to Jesus. And every day, Dan, every day I had this gift, this present from God. And it wasn't me doing anything. I just came each day with humility. And you know, I remember the day vividly. And I remember tears rolling down my face as I said to God, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. And God said to me, oh, James, you could have told me that a long time ago. I've just been waiting for you to realize. You were never meant to do it. I was meant to do it. It's taken you this long to realize, to actually get broken enough to go, I can't do this anymore. I can't be the person that people expect me to be. I can't do this work at work. I can't be the person my husband, my wife, my children, my parents, my friends at school want me to be. I can't do that anymore. Can't do it anymore. I can't deal with this sickness anymore. Whatever it is that you're wrestling with, just come with that brokenness. You see, it's your choice. That first thing is your choice. Next slide, Dan. You need to be hungry for the humility that leads to Jesus. Jesus doesn't want people who are strong. He wants people that are weak. Listen to this from Luke 6:19. And then He spoke, you're blessed when you've lost it all. God's kingdom is there for the finding. You're blessed when you're ravenously hungry. Then you're ready for the messianic meal. You're blessed when tears flow freely. Joy comes in the morning. That's the Message version. There's a hunger there. And some of us are so broken. And we need to take that brokenness to be a hunger for God. I love this Smith Wigglesworth, who was a healer. His thing, the secret of spiritual success, is a hunger, and I want you to note this word, that persists. God was and is looking for hungry, thirsty people. You need to come with humility. I need God. It's a choice. And I want you to know that it's a relationship choice. God isn't interest. He is not Father Christmas. He does not want to come once a year to you. He wants to come every day. So this is not something you go, right, okay, God, I just ask for this. I learn every day to come broken to God and say, Jesus, I need your faith. I need your strength. I need you. Every day I came to him because he's after that relationship. The next thing we need is God's love. How much we need the grace of God, the cross. Listen to this from Ephesians 2, 7 to 9. Now God has us where he wants us, with all the time in the world and the next to shower grace and kindness on us in Jesus Christ. Saving is all his idea and all his work. All we need to do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from the start to finish. We don't play a major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing. No. We neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving. We need to be made and saved every day. And we need to receive God's grace and his love. And you see, it's nothing to do with us. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough for God's love. You've got to just receive it. Don't try and do good in order to get God's love. Just get Jesus and you'll want to do good. Get his love and you'll want to love others. We're doing our paraclesis course at the moment, and I said last Sunday, don't even bother trying to love others until you first receive the love that God wants to give you. The next thing is faith. It's a faith that comes. Some of us have lost the faith to believe God. And I watch people come through Alpha, and because they don't daily rely on God, they'll drift away. And many of us as Christians have lost that faith that Jesus wants to save the world and he wants to come into your life and he wants to bring his power into your life. Hebrews 12, 1 to 2. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. How do we do it? Fixing our eyes on Jesus. What is he? The pioneer and perfecter of faith. If you want faith, Jesus will give it to you. Don't go after faith, go after Jesus, because he is the pioneer and perfecter of faith. And we need faith. Some of us have given up on ourselves, and some of us have given up on God. Now, this is the last one. And I believe this is the most important one. Because I think the Holy Spirit is the one who brings faith. Jesus is now in heaven, glorified. He sent his Spirit, and his Spirit brings us to Jesus. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If you want life, if you want truth, and you want direction, if you want faith, if you want love, God is love. If you want love, you come to Jesus. And there's one person who shows you the way, and it is the Holy Spirit. And primarily, that's what I asked each day. And this is why I asked. If then, though you are evil, and I had a lot of rubbish in my life, know how to give good gifts to your children. We got lots of nice gifts for Christmas for our children. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Do you see that? We do need to ask. You do need to ask for the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit in you. But the infilling, indwelling, is an ongoing verb.
It's something that God continues to do.
Why?
Why did he do it like that?
Because he wants a relationship with us.
Marriage is not about a wedding day. Wedding day is the beginning of the marriage.
Becoming a Christian, how you become a Christian, great, it's not being a Christian. It's the beginning of becoming a Christian.
Grace and mercy is just the beginning. Grace and faith is just the beginning. It's ongoing.
And all you need to do is ask.
Now, if God is real, I mean, if God exists, if you ask him, he'll give you the Holy Spirit. If he doesn't exist, he won't. But if he's a God who fulfills his promises, he will. So the question is, does God exist? Because if he exists and you ask him, well, if he doesn't exist, you can ask him anyway and you'll just fall. But it isn't the kind of asking I discovered that's a one-off asking.
I ask God every day. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit this day.
I stopped asking for God to deal with my greed problem that I had with my weight and my weight problem. I thought, no, I'm not. I just simply wanted Jesus. And when Jesus came into my life, now, can I just say, it was not easy losing weight. Can I just say, it's not easy loving people. It's not easy doing all the Christian things. But it's impossible without God.
Virtually impossible.
You see, what's impossible for man becomes possible. And I'm not saying it's easy. But all of a sudden, I had the desire to lose weight and the ability to do it. It didn't happen overnight. It was hard work. But each day I came back to God. And there were times when I put weight on and I started putting weight on. And I thought, now here's really important. Listen to this, because this was so important to me. I said to God, my success and my failure, not mine, it's yours. I just gave it to him, everything, as a Christian, as somebody who was struggling with weight. My success and failure of it, I gave to God. So, and don't get me wrong, I wasn't putting the blame on God. I was giving him the credit. And where there was sin, I was giving him that too. So when I messed up sin-wise, and in the early days of some of my sin, I still messed up. Okay, God, I messed up. Give it back to you. And I still do. Two people in my family, I have to apologise today. I'm not saying it all becomes perfect. But when the success and the failure is not yours, all that's mine is that I'm a child of God. I don't have to succeed as a vicar. Does that worry you? It's God's church. Even in your workplace or your school or whatever, you can give it, or your friendship, whatever it is. Just give it to God and say, the success and failure of this work, the success and failure of my schoolwork, the success and failure of my friendship, the success and failure of my marriage, the success and failure of my relationship with my family, I give it to you, God. And all of a sudden, do you remember, triumph and disasters, and treat those two impostors just the same. And suddenly those two impostors of triumph and disaster were gone from my life. I didn't need to succeed anymore. Success belonged to God, but so did failure. So when I went up and down, I don't mind. I know where I'm going. I know that God's going to help me. You know, and my love at the moment has been running, just been loving running. Yesterday I went for a run and I did something dreadful to my leg, and I'm supposed to be doing a long run tomorrow. I'm not going to be doing it tomorrow because my legs hurt. That's okay. It's with God. My success and failure of my running, it's with God. And it's so freeing. It's so freeing. Everything just given to God. My life now, I'm a child of God. My daddy is looking after me. And anything I can't do, daddy, I can't do this. I give it to you. The success and failure of it, I give it to you. All this is so freeing. Can I ask, oh no, actually, I'm going to show you a video now. And on your, no, first of all, let's just do, on your thing, there's a verse. Now, this is just fabulous. Have you ever, this is the best, I read this on wedding days, I read this. The second part of it, anyway. Those of you can see it, can you just pass it around so people can see it? You can take this home, it's from Ephesians, but this says what I want. I just would love for us to say it together, if you don't mind. But it's the same on both sides, just one smaller, so you can do it an A, if you want an A5 copy. Let's just say this together. It's really awesome. Right, from verse 12, let's say together. In Jesus and through faith in Jesus, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And you may know this love that surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is in work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Isn't that what I've just been talking about? Awesome. Take it home. Read it. And if you don't believe what I say, believe what God says. Read it until you believe it in your heart. Now, we're going to watch a video now of an eagle that's soaring and a song which just I've been listening to as I've been running. And it's called It Is Well With My Soul. But just listen to some of the words. Now, this eagle, okay, this is not a film of a soaring eagle. It's a film of a camera, which some of you may have seen this, mounted on an eagle. So you actually get to be the eagle. And this is how God meant us to be, soaring above. And it's to the words of It Is Well With My Soul. So we're going to play, your music will come up first and then the video of it. So listen to this. And you do some work with God, Wellett.